To hear my study.
I'd like to ask Brother George if he would be comfortable enough to give us up in word of prayer.
Okay.
Let's pray. Our dear Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We thank you so much for the opportunity you have given to us, the first day of the week, to come together as one children to render our service and worship unto you. Now it's time for us to study in your way so that we can grow and also demonstrate your love to the whole world. At this moment, we pray for the Holy Spirit to come and guide us for our studies so that today what we are going to study can be kept into our memories and also can change our life. At this moment, we also pray for the teacher who is going to teach us this morning that will be with me, helping so that we can teach your will as it is, and nothing but your will. We also pray for individuals that you help us open our heart and understanding so that we can understand your will so that we can use that opportunity to share to others also. At this moment, we also pray for those who are on their way coming. We pray that you will guide them, help them so that they all can join us to render our worship unto you in this morning. In Jesus' name, we pray.
Amen. Thank you, Brother George. This morning we are continuing our study from the Gospel of Matthew chapter 13. Does everyone have a handout?
Yeah.
Everyone has a handout?
No? Yes? Anyone else? Everyone have a handout?
All right, so today we're going to finish the section on third soil. And that third soil, the thorny soil, we said was from verse number 7, Matthew 13, and verse number 7, which says that some fell among thorns, and thorns sprang up and shook them. And then verse number 22 says, now he who received seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. He becomes unfruitful. And we said that perspective, or that soil, is our third response, is faith without perspective. Faith without perspective. And you'll see that number 3. Faith without perspective. Yes? And so after receiving the word, some people confuse their priorities. They lose focus on what's really important. And so mediocrity or of middle quality is the byproduct of this view. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 6. Someone read Matthew 6 verses 19 through 24. Matthew chapter 6 verses 19 through 24.
Matthew 6:19. When everyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who receives seed by the wayside.
No, chapter 6.
Matthew chapter 6, verse 19.
19 to 24, please.
Say, do not lay up for yourself treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal.
Mm-hmm.
For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also.
Mm-hmm.
23. The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light.
Mm-hmm.
But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you in you is darkness. How great is the darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon.
You cannot serve God and mammon. Some translations say you cannot serve God and money. What does the word perspective mean? What is perspective? Perspective.
Outlook.
Point of view. Viewpoint or point of view. All of us have a perspective. The way we view things, yes? And that can be, that is developed or born out of our personal experiences, our own teaching. Sometimes you have like the conspiracy theorist perspective. So it's all of us have a perspective. And so when we come to Christ, we come with a perspective, yes? What are your expectations, or what were your expectations when you came to Christ, yes? So this man that we're talking about, Jesus says, this man in Matthew chapter 13 and verse number 22, now he who receives seed among thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches, what do? Choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. And so Jesus says in Matthew 6, no man can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one or despise the other. Yes? And so the thorns that choke of the seed, and what is the seed?
Word.
The word of God, are the cares of the world. And so mere earthly existence, that will be making a living, anxiety for creature comforts. Look at Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. Colossians chapter 3. Can someone read that for us? Nice and loud. Colossians chapter 3.
If then you are raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth.
Mm-hmm.
For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God.
Yes. And so what are some of the thorns of this life? What are some of the thorns of this life? The Apostle Paul had a thorn in the flesh. What was that thorn in the flesh? Anybody know? In 2 Corinthians. Anybody know what that thorn was? You don't know what the thorn was, but what did Paul say the thorn was given to him to do? To do what? Anybody remember? It was to humble him. It was to humble him, yeah? And so, the deceitfulness of riches, it says, 1 Timothy 6 and 10 says, for the love of money is what?
The
root. It doesn't say money. It says, the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. You remember the rich young ruler? What did the rich young ruler, he came to Christ, and what did he say to Christ? What did the rich young ruler say? Good master, what must I do to receive eternal life or inherit eternal life? And what did he say? Go and he said, listen, I'm taking care of my mom, I'm doing all the good things. He said, but one thing you lack. Go and sell everything and then come back up here. And what did he do? He came big and bad, you know, Lord, I'm doing good. You know, telling Jesus what's on his resume, I'm taking care of my mom, I'm paying my taxes, I'm doing all the right things. But one thing, you lack. How much are you willing to give up for God? How much are you willing to give up? There's a song you probably have, I am sold out. My mind is made up, huh? Sold out for Jesus. Now, you know, you've heard me say this before.
All of us have some junk in our houses that we're not willing to give up. Huh? The good china, mama's wedding dress, all that stuff in the cabinet that you're saving up for whatever. Your shoe collection, all your suits, stuff that's broken down. And you say, Lord, I'm willing to give you everything, but not my good junk. Huh? Every last, I've got a coin collection at home. I've got a stamp collection at home. Huh? My Lord, you know, not like them. I mean, I give you everything. You know what we tell the Lord? I give you, he is my everything. He is my, huh? All to Jesus. All to Jesus. You better stop singing that song. You better stop singing that song. All, have you given the Lord all? No. Go and sell how much? I've got a pension. I've got a little secret account somewhere. A rainy day fund. Huh? And so on your point B at the bottom, it says B. You can't see it on the screen because this is not on yet. We know what's going on. Maybe the devil. So this is what goes in there. These secondary interests destroy man's what? Primary interests. These secondary interests destroy man's primary interests. In other words, seeking the what? What does it say? Seeking the, what does it say? Immediate at the risk and loss of the what? What's the immediate? That's instant gratification. Huh? What's the latest? Is it 14? iPhone 14 plus max. Huh? The plus max plus.
Pro Max.
The Pro Max. Just came out. Huh? That's the immediate. But the Bible says, lay up for yourselves treasures where? But wait a minute. If you think Jesus, if you pray to Jesus, you think he's going to send you a iPhone? You think Jesus is going to send you a phone? But he said, heaven is so far off, Lord. Why can't I have this right here? That's the immediate. But we forget the what? Eternal, because that's too old. Huh? What's the retirement age in the UK?
67.
Did you know that? And over the years it will start going up. 69. Why? Why is that? Because people are living longer. But you're thinking, I'm 20 years old. Why should I put the money in the pension? That's so what? Far away. Huh? Let's talk to some folk that are retired. That's the important part. Wait a minute now. If I knew then what I know now, I would have made some different decisions. Huh? The cares of the every last one of us will struggle with this. Huh? And so, anybody know what a Bugatti is? What's a Bugatti? A car. What type of car? Is it like a, you know, one of those little hoop this? What's a Bugatti? What type? Friendly car. High end is this? How high? Is it about 10,000 pounds? 20,000? 30,000? 50? 100? Millions. Of course, it's true from where I live. There's a seat tent. And one day I was minding my business and looked out the window. They were having a wedding over there. And guess what they had over there? About 6 Bugattis lined up.
Yes.
Huh? Had lights in them. And you I got my camera. I should have bought that picture. Got my camera. Looked up there another time. Guess what they had over there? Guess what they had? Bandits. A row of bandits. Looked up there another time. Guess what they had? Guess what they had? There was a Rolls Royce. Had drums, football, dressed up, but they had band going. I mean, it was lavish. But I can't take any of that stuff with me to heaven. Any questions? All right.
Question.
Yes. I like questions.
Okay. I was just wondering, why did Jesus tell the rich man to sell his goods?
What do you think he asked him to do that?
My question is not really. Does it mean literally sell it off? Or does Jesus mean something else?
How much? How well can you bless yourself? How well can you bless yourself? Can you bless yourself? You sure can. I can take myself on a trip, go to a spa, buy a nice house. Well, how much can Jesus bless you? Yeah. What does Matthew 6:33 say? What?
But seek ye
first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added. But what do we do? What do we do? Seek ye first our stuff, the things. We seek first the things, and then we ask God to bless our next. Remember what we do? You know I've asked that question. When do we go to work? Who do we go to work for? No, you do. I like it. She said, I'll say, you better be going to work for Jesus. Seek first the kingdom and his righteousness. But we put the things first. Do not worry about this life. What you shall eat, where you shall live, your clothes. Because the Gentiles worry about that stuff. We're supposed to be kingdom people. I struggle with that. Amen. That brings us to the fourth soil, the good soil. Someone read for us, please, Matthew chapter 13, verse 8. Matthew chapter 13 and verse number 8.
Matthew 13, verse 8. The others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30.
Yes. And then verse number 23, please.
But he who receives seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100-fold, some 60, some 30.
All right. Said, but others fell on good ground and yielded the crop. Verse 8. This word good means deep, moist, warm, always fertile. These are people grateful for God's blessings, fervent, committed. Yeah? Verse 23 says, he who hears the word, in other words, listens with discernment and understands it, seeing the significance of the teaching. So, Acts chapter 13, I think it's verse 8, says, the Bereans were more noble than those in Thessalonica, and that they received the word with all readiness and searched the scriptures daily. Why were the Bereans single out? Because they what? Received the word. Yeah? You ever got somebody else's post at your address? Someone else's post at your address. Ever that happen to you? What do you do with that post? Return to send. Why? Why do you send it? Return to send. Get it?
Because it's coming to send it.
Because it's not addressed to you. But those who know the value of God's word, they receive it. How? With gladness. Yeah? What does God have for me? Lord, what would you have me to know? Yeah? So, that rich young ruler was putting Jesus to the test. But what did Jesus do? He put him to the test. Huh? God is faithful, but we're not. Isn't that right? God is faithful, but we're not. He's putting us to the test. So the seed is the same in all four soils. But the soils are different, yeah, based on the response. So this is what we call reproductive faith. Number four is reproductive faith is the fourth response. And so, and it says, to understand means to bring together. The word understand means to bring together, to perceive, to use reason to draw proper conclusions. Proverbs 4 and verse number 5, I encourage you to underline that in your Bible. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse number 5 says what? Proverbs 4 and 5, underline that in your Bible, circle it, highlight it, remember it. Proverbs 4 and 5 says what?
Get wisdom, get understanding, do not forget, nor turn away from the word of my mouth.
Get wisdom and what? Get understanding. So, when the word of God is taught, when the word of God is preached, your job is to connect the dots. What if God said this here, it must equal something over here. Now, so wait a minute, get wisdom, get understanding. That's why, remember when mama would beat you? Mama and daddy would beat you. What did mama and daddy would say if it was a word in blue? Do you understand? I told you. I told you to get in this house before such and such time. Because you didn't understand what she said, there had to be some discipline. Yeah? And so, to bring it together, what does the Bible say? Yes? This man takes heed of what and how he hears. This man takes heed of what, that seed, and how he hears. What's the what? What is God saying to me, and how can I use this in my day-to-day life? Jesus didn't say, everything Jesus said was for a reason. It's your job to figure out why he said it. That makes sense? Yeah? And so, the results, what are the results? God expects results, don't you? You know, these here in the UK, around the world, children take their, what, the A-levels, take all these exams, and what you're looking for? Results there, everybody is anxious. Did I pass? Huh? He has an honest heart, good means genuine in that he accepts the word. And so the results of the good heart, first of all, he bears fruit and produces. He bears fruit and produces in his or her personal life in establishing deep roots. John 15 and verse number 5 says, I am the vine, Jesus said, and ye, or you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. Now this word abide means to make your residence in. Pitch your tent. Abide in me. Make your residence in the word of God. Yeah? You remember John chapter 1 says that in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. And then when it came down to book, verse 4 says, and the word became flesh and what? Tabernacle. Jesus made his residence among men. So you and I, in our spiritual life, must make our residence in the word of God. How do we abide in God? Everything we do must be grounded in scripture. That makes sense? So, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by what? Listen, you cannot have faith outside the word. First, you must get a word from God, and that is the foundation of your faith.
So, you hear me often ask you,
where did you get that from?
Where did I get that from? Is that in the Bible? Is that in the Bible? Huh? Yeah.
And so, let's read that again, John 15:5. Jesus says, I am the vine, and you are the branches. He who abides or makes his residence in me, he says, and I in him, what will he do? He will bear much fruit. What's the fruit of a Christian? What's the fruit of a Christian?
Another Christian.
Another Christian. Huh? You were saved to do what? To save yourself. To reproduce yourself. Yeah? So that makes sense. You plant a tree for what? For the fruit. Isn't that right? So you were not saved to sit down. You said, man, I got my spot. I'm just, thank you, Jesus. Like we're on a cruise ship. All right, I'm on my way to heaven. No. When the Lord comes back, he's looking for some fruit. Huh? He's looking for some fruit. And so, he said, how much fruit did this man produce? Back in our text, verse 23, Jesus said himself, he said, verse 23, he received the seed on good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. So the difference is measured by individual potential, not by what each field does or does not produce. God will give you an increase based on your ability. Is that right? Some people in the church are multi-gifted Christians. But every last one of us have at least one gift. You remember the parable of the talents? Huh? What did the one talent man tell the master?
Yeah.
And what did he do with his talent? What did he do with his talent? He said, buried it. And here you go. Huh? He said, you're going to at least come up with that talent. You're going to at least put it in the bank and gotten some interest. Huh? When the Lord comes back, God didn't give you the gift of bacon for you to profit of that yourself. God did not give you the gift of talking for you to keep that to yourself and make money for yourself. God gave you that gift or gifts for the benefit of the kingdom. How can I use? I'm going to use myself because you look like you're interested. I told you, when I was 4, 5, 6 years old, I was the quietest boy. I never talked. I was the one that sat in the back of the room. And when the teacher said, listen, we're going to do a book report and Luke, tomorrow you're going to have to give a presentation. Oh, I was sick the next day. I would never stand up in front of an audience and speak. That was not me. But what made the difference? When I became a Christian, I never had the opportunity to go to college. I didn't have a father or mother to encourage me. All I knew was the streets. Profanity. That's all I knew. I didn't even know about any church. Never knew about the Church of Christ. I became a Christian at the age of 20. And when I found out who Jesus is, and I was willing to step outside of my comfort zone, he took me places. Imagine. You know, sometimes I would be sitting in the room. I would be the only black person in the room. No college education. And I said, in my mind, I'm reflecting, I'm saying, the only earns Jesus. Jesus. Huh? Worked my way up through the bank. I didn't have no degree. I ended up, I was a business analyst.
I've tried my best, my level best, to commit whatever gift or talent to serving God and His people. If I can teach, nobody told me, Smith, that you can do that. Nobody told me that. If it took Christians to come alongside and say, you can do that, you're good at that. Didn't have anybody to motivate me. And God can use you too. What's your gift? What's your talent? And God will take that little and bless it. Some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. Okay? So each one is given according to his ability, according to Matthew 25, 14, the parable of the talents. Isaiah, we've already read that. In verse number 14, for the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country, who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. In verse 15, and to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, each according to his own ability. Because if God didn't do that, it would make him unreasonable. God is not going to expect you to do more than you can. He's going to say, George, I bless you with the ability to talk to people. How did you use that for the king? And Isaiah said, immediately he went on his journey. So the question is, which soil are you? Are you the hardened or packed soil in verse 4? Who was, that's faith. The person with no faith. Or you stony ground, in verse number 5, that would be the one with faith without conviction. Or you the thorny ground, in verse number 7, that would be faith without perspective. Or are you the good soil? Are you the good soil? Okay, that's not coming on. But you remember, those were here before. Which would you rather be? Which would you rather be? Would you rather be a carrot, an egg, or coffee? Would you rather be a carrot, an egg, or coffee? Which was for coffee beans? Which would you prefer? Coffee. Why coffee? You like coffee? So somebody wants to know what that kind of strength. Why are you asking that question? I'm gonna tell you a story, and then you'll understand why I'm asking that question. What's that?
You've done this one before.
Yes. Which are you?
The coffee bean.
The coffee bean. The story goes, a young woman went to her mother and told her about her life and how things were so hard for her. She didn't know what was going to make, whether she was going to make it or give up. She was tired of fighting and struggling. It seemed that as one problem was solved, a new one arose. Does ever feel like that? Her mother took her to the kitchen. She filled 3 pots with water. The first, she placed some carrots. In the second pot, she placed eggs. And at last, she placed ground coffee beans. She let them sit and boil without saying a word. In about 20 minutes, she turned off the burners. She fished the carrots out and placed them in a bowl. She pulled the eggs out and placed them in a separate bowl. And then she ladled the coffee into a bowl. Turning to her daughter, she asked, tell me, what do you see? She said, carrots, eggs, and coffee. She brought her closer and asked her to feel the carrots. She did and noted that they were soft. She then asked her to take an egg and break it. After pulling off the shell, she observed that it was a hard-boiled egg. Finally, she asked her to sip the coffee. The daughter smiled as she tasted its rich aroma. The daughter then asked, what's the point, mother? Her mother explained that each of these objects had faced the same adversity. Boiling water. But each reacted differently. The carrot went in strong, hard, and unrelenting. However, after being subjected to boiling water, it softened and became weak. The egg had been fragile, its thin outer shell had protected its liquid interior, but after being through the boiling water, the inside became hardened. The coffee beans were unique, however. After they were in the boiling water, they changed the water. Which are you? Asked the daughter. When adversity knocks on your door, how do you respond? Are you a carrot, an egg, or a coffee bean? Think of it. Yeah? Am I the carrot that seems strong, but the pain and adversity, but with pain and adversity, do I wilt and become soft and lose my strength? Am I the egg that starts with a malleable heart, but changes with the heat? Did I have a fluid spirit, but after death, a breakup, a financial hardship, or some other trial, have I become hardened and stiff? Does my shell look the same, but on the inside I am bitter and tough with a stiff spirit and a hardened heart? Or am I like the coffee bean? The bean actually changes the hot water, the very circumstances that brings the pain. When the water gets hot, it releases the fragrance and flavor. If you are like the bean, when things are at their worst, you get better and change the situation around you. When the hours are darkened and the trials are at their greatest, do you elevate to another level? How do you handle adversity? So the question is, are you a carrot, an egg, or a coffee bean? Just like the parable of the soul that we just studied. The word is the same. The same word, but it produced four different results. And so, each of us, in our lives, on a day-to-day basis, sometimes we may go from different soils, depending on the situation, but you get to choose. You get to choose, yeah? Life is tough. Any questions or comments? Questions or comments? Okay. Exam starts when you leave. You don't get a chance to leave here, leave Earth before some exams. Let's turn our attention, please, back to the Gospel of Matthew. The next section of scripture, beginning in verse number 24, is entitled Opposition to the Kingdom. Opposition to the Kingdom. And so we need to understand that Satan opposes the kingdom by trying to snatch the word from the hearts of men, according to Matthew chapter 13, verses 4 and 19. But when that fails, he has other ways of attacking God's work. The next three parables reveal that Satan is primarily an imitator. If I can beat him, I'll just create an imitation of him. He plants false Christians. He encourages a false growth, and he introduces false doctrine. You will also notice that the next series of parables, if you have your Bibles, and you'll note that in Matthew chapter 13, verse 24, it says, the kingdom of heaven is like, in the parable of the wheat and the tares. Verse 31, the parable of the mustard seed, the kingdom of heaven is like. Verse 33, in the parable of the leaven, the kingdom of heaven is like. In verse 44, in the parable of the hidden treasure, the kingdom of heaven is like. And then verse 45, and the kingdom of heaven is like. And then finally in verse 47, and the kingdom of heaven is like. Yes? So let's turn our attention to the parable of the wheat and tares. The parable of the wheat and tares. Can someone read for us verses 24 to 30? Matthew 13, 24 through 30.
A parable he put forth to them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat, and when grain has sprouted and produced a crop, then the tares also appeared. So the servants of the owner came and said to him, Sir, did you not sow green seed in your field? How then does it have tares? He said to them, An enemy has done this. The servant said to him, Do you want us then to go and gather them up? But he said, No, lest while you gather up the tares, you also uproot the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest, and all the time of harvest. And at the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, First gather together the tares, and bind them in bundles, and burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Now the explanation of this parable is found in verses 36 through 43. It says, Then Jesus sent the multitudes away and went to the house, and his disciples came to him saying, so Jesus interpreted this parable privately to the disciples. He says, they said to him, Explain to us the parable of the tares of the field. He answered and said to them, He who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seeds are the sons of the kingdom, but the tares are the sons of the wicked one. The enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are the angels. Therefore, as the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of this age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and those who practice lawlessness. And cast them into the furnace of fire, and there will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. This parable of the wheat and tares is to help us to understand that Satan cannot uproot the plants or true Christians, so he plants counterfeit Christians in their midst. In this parable, the good seed is not the word of God. In this parable, the good seed is not the word of God according to the scriptures. Yes? And so, tares look very similar to wheat. Tares look very similar to wheat. And so the question was asked by his disciples, Do you want us to go out there and pull up those tares? What did Jesus tell them? Leave them. Leave them alone. That's not your job. That is not your job. That's not the disciples' job to go and pull them up. And so it represents people converted. The wheat represents people converted through trust in the word. The field is not the human heart. So there's a difference here. The field, according to verse 38, is the world. Yeah, so we are, as Christians, an ocean of humanity. Yes, so we are to be in the world, but what? I love the world. But there are times when we don't know the true from the fake. Yeah, and so this is an example here where Jesus says, listen, that's not your job to judge. Because at the end of the age, who's going to come? Jesus is going to come. And who will the reapers?
Angels.
The angels. And they will make a mistake. They're not going to make a mistake. And what will happen to the tares? They'll be gathered up and burned. And there will be what? Weeping, or wailing, and gnashing of teeth. That teaches, this is a hard parable. This is a hard parable because there may appear to be some contradictions to what Jesus has already told. And so next week, Lord willing, your homework is to study these passages, Matthew chapter 13, verses 24 through 30, and verses 36 through 43, and you're gonna tell us what this parable means. What's the point of this parable? What is Jesus' lesson for us today? Let's pray. Father in heaven, we're so thankful for your word and pray as we go throughout the furnace, not only of this week, but this life, we recognize that there are many challenges that await us. We know that the enemy is indeed busy
pray, Father, that your word will fall on good ground and produce the seed for which it was sent for. Help us in all things to use adversity to draw closer to you, and that we might reap the reward, that we might be faithful, keeping our eyes fixed on you. Help us in all things, Father, to always commit ourselves and our actions to you, that you might have the glory. Forgive us where we stumble and fall, for this is our prayer, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.